talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, the second hour, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. I'm going to go to the lines themselves. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
An observation on the January 6th thing and then a legal question for you. You know, we're always saying that the Republicans don't have the party doesn't have a platform. I think that Liz Cheney, in her opening statement, inadvertently stumbled onto it. In her opening statement, defending the indefensible. On gun rights, wrong. On Roe v. Wade, wrong. On a number of things. Another thing, tax law when it comes to corporate, you name it. So that's their, in my mind, I think the Democrats ought to hang that right around their neck. Defending the indefensible. But the legal question is this. If they decide not, Garland, to indict the former president, is there something short of that we can do to keep Trump from ever running again? I know we could have done it twice with impeachment, but he's no longer president, and that didn't work anyway. But is there something we can do? Because at the very least, this guy shouldn't hold dog catcher as a title going forward.
You know, those are excellent comments and an excellent question. Let me respond to them. First of all, I have a great deal of admiration for Liz Cheney. I think that Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and people of that nature are essential to this country. It's essential we have two parties. It's essential that one of them is a conservative party, one of them is a liberal party. That's standard. It's essential that they both be honest. And right now, the Republican Party is not honest, but Liz Cheney is, and Adam Kinzinger is, and there are some others who are as well. And one of the things, she said something that was Churchillian or Lincoln-esque in stature when she said in the first initial two-hour televised hearing last week, after her remarks were concluding, she said, "And now let me address my fellow Republicans directly. Long after Donald Trump is no longer here, your dishonor will last forever." That was a chilling statement, a true statement, a wonderful statement. And I'm glad you mentioned Liz Cheney, because I think the world of her. And frankly, if they put up a ticket that said that Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney even, and Mitt Romney did vote to convict Trump twice. He's not as brave as Liz Cheney, but the two of them would turn the Republican Party around. And I think you're right. They have a platform. Republicans have a platform. They claim they didn't have a platform. That's because in 2016, when Paul Manafort came in as the chairman of the Trump campaign, and he was being paid by the pro-Russian people over in Ukraine, pro-Russian people, he was on the take. He was convicted, went to prison, pardoned by Trump, crooked pardon, so that Manafort wouldn't rat on Trump, try to get out of jail. He changed. They did have a platform in 2016, Dick, and he changed the platform in the middle on the Ukraine plank and made it pro-Russian. It's a crooked party, but it has honest people in it, like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And to your question, is there a way to have Trump not run? There are a number of ways. The best way to not have him run is to have him criminally charged right now. And here's how that works legally. The January 6th committee at the end of this hearing, in my view, will refer it to Merrick Garland for investigation and convening of a grand jury. They will, against Trump. Does Merrick Garland have the guts? If this were organized crime, you know, normal organized crime or drugs or that kind of thing, or ISIS, we would convene a grand jury. Grand jury sits in secret. Their names are not identified. They may sit for a day or two a month. They can be convened for a year. And then they return an indictment or not. And if they return an indictment, then that indictment would be public. Trump would have to show up. If for the average guy, they'd throw handcuffs on him and drag him in, because if somebody like Trump, they wouldn't do that. He'd show up. He'd be read his rights. He'd ask how he pleads, not guilty. There'd be a preliminary hearing. He'd go to trial. Will Garland do that? I don't know, because that's the kind of thing, going after criminally the last president, usually happens in Africa, parts of Asia and South America. But that's because everybody's crooked in those places. Here, we don't like to do it, but here we have a crook. We have Trump. He's on the take from the Ruskies. He has conspired with other people to overturn an election and interfere with the peaceful transition of power. And it'll continue if he is permitted to go forward. So, Dick, the first way to do it is to go after him right now. There's certainly grounds to do it. There's evidence that he committed a felony on this attempted coup. But will Garland do it? I don't know. Will Garland say, well, you know, 35% of the country seems to be for Trump, and we don't want a civil war? I don't know what he'll do, and I'm not going to second guess whatever he does, but that's one of the things he'll take into account. That's one of the things he'll take into account. If he doesn't criminally prosecute him, the second way is under the 14th Amendment, bar him from running because he instigated a coup. The 14th Amendment says you can't hold a position of trust or public office in the United States if you were part of a coup or an insurrection against the government of the United States. That so far has not resulted, for instance, in keeping Marjorie Taylor Greene off, because her advocacy was all verbal or oral. It was all just opinion that I think Trump was wrongfully cheated and all this. But Trump here planned it and orchestrated it. Trump here sent a save the date card by social media to people. Save the date. Come there on January 6th. What's January 6th? It's a ceremonial thing. Well, then he went to, there were overt acts of treason by Trump. He told Trump, hey, Pence, you got to do this. Just say that you're not going to accept it and leave the rest to me. Called Raffensperger, Georgia, said, come up with a little over 11,000 more votes so there could be criminal consequences. That's more than Marjorie Taylor Greene did. I think that you're going to find, Dick, that if Trump announces he's running, there will be litigation on that. The question is, the Supreme Court, the Republican Supreme Court, is 2-1 Republican, 6-3. And they have shown that they basically favor the Republican Party. They're partisan. They've lost their credibility. What will they do? The third way to do it, of course, would have been impeachment and conviction. He was impeached twice. The first time, in terms of conviction, it takes not 10, it takes 17 senators to convict him with 50 Democrats. It takes 67 senators, not 60. That's not like a filibuster. That's a supermajority. And the second time over January 6th, there were 8 senators who were ready to convict him. Republicans, including the 50 Democrats, 58% of the Senate said this guy is no good, and then he couldn't have run again. But it wasn't 17, it was only 8. Only 8, come on. 8 people in your own party and 50 in the other party say, you're no good? You're a crook, get out of here. Well, one thing I think can take some solace from is that everybody goes, oh, well, Trump has 30% of the populace, 35%. Let me tell you something. In polling going back to Roosevelt, at any given time, 30% of the people would impeach the incumbent for no reason at all. And that includes Roosevelt and Kennedy and Truman. It also includes Nixon, Trump, and the Bushes. It doesn't matter. So you're always going to have almost a third. Thanks for calling. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today? Mark from the SAC.
Well, yeah, this guy claiming to, invoking Adolf Hitler and the Republicans, claiming that, if we just had family values and more religion, we would, get rid of these the gun problems. Well, that kind of ties into the whole Adolf Hitler thing, because Hitler preached family values. Hitler preached the new faith. I mean, a new faith.
Well, he was a genocidal murderer, a pervert, and a sadist. And this guy, Carl Paladino, is after him, Mark, but... They won't denounce that.
They won't denounce Hitler. I mean, what do you expect from a party that worships Ayn Rand, whose hero based one of her heroes on a guy who chopped up a little girl? I mean, William Hickman, I think the guy's name was, that she said, this guy's the greatest example of a man I've ever seen. And this is a guy that murdered a little girl. And that's one of their, philosophical heroes is Ayn Rand.
The thing is, I get it, and Ayn Rand, but I mean, that's a good piece of abstruse literature and history. Nobody knows it. But Adolf Hitler is one of the greatest worst mass murderers in history. And Carl Paladino, the Republican candidate for Congress in New York, praised him, said we need him like that. He was a great orator, and he hypnotized people. And Elise Stefanik, the number three in the House, is backing him. And Kevin McCarthy has said nothing. This is very elementary, guys, in the Republican Party. If you have a nut who's for Hitler, throw him out of the party. He's garbage. Do you understand that? We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. But we're going to go to Ukraine. Let me give you some updates. And sad, but there's an opportunity, and we have got to increase our support for Ukraine. Let me tell you what's going on. It was just reported Ukraine is losing between 100 and 200 fighters a week. 100 to 200 fighters a week, especially in eastern Ukraine in the Donbass region. And when you hear about losses, fatalities, you multiply that by three to include casualties, which are wounded that are not killed, but are so badly wounded they can't go back and fight. So the report out of Zelensky himself, 100 and possibly 200 killed. That means 300 to 600 a week being killed and wounded. Russia is now using more deadly weapons of war. First of all, they put in 12 battalions in there. They have plenty of men. There's 145 million people in Russia. There's only 45 million in Ukraine, and 10% of them are refugees, and they've gone away. The Ruskies are now dropping 1960s-era anti-ship missiles. They had been used with nuclear warheads in the past. Now they're using non-nuclear warheads with their KH-22 missiles designed to take out an aircraft carrier, and they're just going around and dropping this stuff. It's very imprecise, it's highly inaccurate, and it kills everything in sight. And they're just dropping it all over eastern Ukraine and the cities. Each one of them weighs 6 tons. 6 tons? You know how much 6 tons is? 12,000 pounds? Well, Zelensky is asking us, before I tell you what Zelensky is asking us, they're also using flamethrowers in Luhansk. Those are deadly, and against civilian populations, we use flamethrowers in the Pacific in the Second World War, and the Germans, the Nazis, used them in Europe. But there'd be a bunker with Japanese troops firing our people, and the flamethrowers would go up, and they would just flamethrow into the bunker, and that's the end of the bunker. They're doing that with civilians in eastern Ukraine. Zelensky is asking us for a lot more, and I support him 100%. He says, first of all, drop all Russian banks from the SWIFT system, not just a couple. The SWIFT system is an international system of banks, something like 10,000 banks. And if you're not on it, we've dropped Iran from it. We've dropped North Korea from it. It's hard to have a modern society. With Russia, we've only half done it so that the Germans can continue to buy oil from Russia and have an account to deposit into. Well, that's too bad. Drop them from SWIFT, all of them. All of them. Sanction all Russian companies, not just a few. He asked to sanction all Russian politicians and even judges. I say sanction all Russians. Cut off all visas for anybody who's Russian, and if they're in this country, throw them out. Throw them out. Cut out business relations with Russia. We let our pharmaceutical companies sell in Russia, supposedly for humanitarian reasons. How humane is Russia? They're bombing people who try to get pharmaceuticals into Ukraine. Stop the pharmaceutical companies from trading in Russia. We're giving visas still to people, you know, musicians and athletes. Stop it. Ostracize them. And then what we've got to do is give them much stronger anti-aircraft, anti-ship, and anti-tank, and anti-infantry missile launchers. There are three families of missile launcher. One can go 25 miles, one can go 50, and one can go 300. Initially, we only gave them javelins, which you have to home in on the tank itself. Then we gave them 25-mile launchers, multi-launchers. Now we upgrade it to 50, but they're not really in the field yet. Give them the 300-mile one. Let them sit elsewhere in Ukraine, and these battalions in the Donbass rain missiles on them. Ukrainsky says they're low on ammunition, almost out of ammunition. Here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. The Russians are, first of all, destroying the cities in eastern Ukraine. You look at some of the TV. These buildings have been destroyed. It's uninhabitable. Then they send in, after they've murdered all the civilians, send in Russian troops and say, we now control it. Then they find a few people who they install as their puppets, who are pro-Russian, who then go, we're going to issue Russian passports. We're Russian now. You got to teach school in Russian. We got to redo the curriculum. Then what they're doing is blockading the ports on the Black Sea of Ukraine that are used to ship wheat and other foodstuffs. There is an historian that you have seen on MSNBC and elsewhere, I'm sure, named Snyder at Yale University. Snyder, I think very highly of Snyder. He's written some excellent books on fascism, a Yale historian, Timothy Snyder. And he says that Putin's objective is to, quote, starve Asia and Africa to help him conquer Ukraine. Ukraine produces something like 10% of the world's wheat, sunflower oil, barley, and a lot of other things. People in Somalia and in Africa will starve. And Russia goes there grinning at them and says, well, if you just tell the United States to stop sanctioning Russia and let us torture Ukraine, we'll give you food. That's what's happening. Now, I got news for you. Early on, Biden was magnificent. He put NATO together. He stood up to Russia. But he was stabbed in the back by the Tucker Carlsons and by the Kevin McCarthys, by the Josh Hawleys, by the Republican Party in this country. And then at the same time, he's stabbed from the front by Germany and France, who are just collaborators with Russia. And we finally forced them out of that a little bit. So he had to be careful what he did. We should have imposed a no-fly zone right away. Well, we didn't, but we can give them 300-mile missile launchers, take out their ships. The second thing we can do, our Navy, escort ships, grain ships into the Black Sea, go through the Dardanelles. Turkey controls them. They say you can't come. Say, shut up, and go through anyway. And you can flag the grain ships with Turkish and Egyptian flags. put into the ports, get the grain and go out. And you tell Putin, one of your guys fires on us, that's the last thing he ever does. We've got to do something. We cannot stand by and let the Republican Party continually stab a wartime president in the back who's doing a wonderful job standing up to the Ruskies, then let them starve Africa and parts of Asia, the poorest parts, and say is the price to not starving them. And by the way, Russia's just stealing Ukrainian grain and selling it themselves in some markets and keeping the money. Get Zelensky the missiles he needs, get him more planes, take out those ships, let him bomb the places where Russia is bombing them, which is in Russian territory, but it's not populated. Hit back at Putin. We're coming to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. We're going to the lines. David of California. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, David of California?
Oh, morning, Matt. I'm glad you're raising the issue of Ukraine. It's almost too late to get in a crop this year up there. It's, you know, somewhat of a northern country, and the idea that they're basically the breadbasket of the world. What is it? Somewhere between 12% of the world's grains come from there per every year, and
right,
they can't
right.
get in a crop right. this year. It's intolerable that this has gone on this long, and the idea that basically the profiteers, and of course the Republicans are got to be seen as profiteers in this. They're the ones that are jacking up food prices. They're the ones creating starvation, and they're the ones pretending to be patriots by doing it. So one other aspect that I would raise, you know, Wisconsin's one of those states that's got the fake electors, and those fake electors, not one of them has resigned. And not one of them has apologized, and almost all of them are still in positions of power in the Republican Party. And I've been leaning on, say, for example, Chicago Board of Trade. If someone commits fraud and they don't get prosecuted, they basically are allowed to continue that fraud. And when you start looking at the business of the business of Wisconsin that goes through the Chicago Board of Trade, anybody that takes part in that fraud gets tainted. And when you start looking at the reputation of Wisconsin and the Republican Party of Wisconsin that have committed fraud, treason and fraud, and then gone out of their way to continue doing business as if it's normal, they should be banned from any kind of business from the Chicago Board of Trade or the New York Stock Exchange or any other international markets. And it's basically an opportunity for the Democrats or third parties to basically crush the Republican Party. You know, the Republican Party that no longer believes in Abraham Lincoln, that no longer believes in united you stand, divided you fall. They no longer believe in equal justice under the law. They no longer believe in equal protection under the law. Why should the Republican Party have a corporate charter in America? They should be seen as a criminal operation, and basically that, by crushing the Republican Party, we would get back to being able to deal with something like Ukraine, because the Republicans are obviously saboteurs in trying to resolve this. the starvation that's coming out of this, what's going on in the Ukraine, that farmers can't even get a crop in this year. Just amazing. And the idea that the Republicans are just gleeful about it, they should be, you know, banned as citizens of the United States. They should be seen as not only traitors, but as saboteurs.
You know, David, that is as profound and deep a comment as we've had in a long time. I really appreciate you making those comments. I'm going to respond. Obviously, when it comes to Republicans, to the extent we're talking about all Republicans, I think Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and probably Mitt Romney and others are what I would call, they're honest people. And I just, especially Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, I really appreciate their leadership on the January 6th committee. So we obviously aren't talking about all Republicans, but what you said is right on. First of all, on Ukraine, it is a little late, Ukraine is fairly far north, north of the Black Sea. It is late to put in a crop. And you're right about the grains, barley, wheat, sunflower oil, and other things. They are the breadbasket, right? A very meaningful percentage of the world's grains, and people are facing starvation. Vladimir Putin is a genocidal sadist. He smirks, and he's blocking their ports so that they can't export what they have. And that grain, spoils after a while. I think they can keep it 3 months or something. Some of it he's stealing, and then he's selling it himself and not to poor people. And he's smirking and saying, well, you Somali and if you don't want to starve, work on the United States. I have a gun to your head, so I'll pull it if the United States doesn't let us torture Ukraine. And you're absolutely right that the Republicans, Biden's a wartime president, are stabbing him in the back, shooting at him. Absolutely right, everything you just said. I really appreciate it. And then what you said about fraud, and if you don't prosecute it, it perpetuates itself, is a very profound and true statement. I'll give you an example. There's a guy named Robert Spindell here in Wisconsin. He was one of the fake electors. Not only has he not been prosecuted, but he's on our Wisconsin Election Commission. He was a candidate for the chairmanship of it right now. And if it went to a different guy, Don Millis, that just was announced over the weekend, a recent appointee. But the gall of a guy to go, I'm a fake elector, breaking the law, and he hasn't been prosecuted. Merrick Garland isn't prosecuting him. The state attorney general isn't prosecuting him. And then he goes, I want to be chairman of the commission where I basically committed the fraud. And David, we have 3 of our 7 Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin who voted with Trump to overturn Biden's election and give it to Trump. 3 out of the 7. 3 out of the 7. And here are a couple of other fake electors who weren't prosecuted. Andrew Hitt, HITT, he's a former chairman of the Republican Party out here. Goes off scot-free. And Kelly Rue, R-U-H. Kelly Rue. She is the chairperson of the 8th Congressional District Republican Party. That's up in the Green Bay area. And she was an elected official in Brown County, in a town in Brown County. And she's still roaming around. I think people should listen to what David said, because if this were done in a business context, the SEC or the Chicago Board of Trade or other people would absolutely discipline and remove and refer for prosecution, because the SEC does not prosecute themselves. They refer to the Justice Department. They would prosecute. But in politics, we think, oh, well, it's politics. No, it's not politics. This is fraud. This is fraud. It's not just politics. This is fraud. With the 3 Supreme Court justices, one of them, Pat Rogensack, is not running for re-election. She's up in April. There's some candidates. We have an exceptionally strong candidate, Judge Janet Protasiewicz of Milwaukee, who Rebecca Dowd is supporting. I'm supporting a lot of other people. I think it'd be great on there to stand up to the attempt to steal it. So basically, in the political system is slowly mending itself, but it should have been done with criminal prosecution. David, thank you for your very, very fine comments. Going back to the lines, Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill of Shorewood?
The Congressional Budget Office issued a report on Friday about the U.S. budget deficit. Now, this is in the weeds, obviously, but it should be recognized that the budget deficit is falling very fast. As you know, it was very high because of the pandemic relief programs, unemployment compensation, the Small Business Administration grants, and the coronavirus relief fund gave us a $21 trillion deficit in the first 8 months of 2021. Remember, the fiscal year starts in October. So $2.1 trillion in 2021. So far in 2022, the comparable period is one-fifth of that amount, $423 billion. So as the pandemic relief funding is being wound down, the budget deficit is falling very, very fast. So people that criticize the spending should be forced to answer the following question. What would you have done in 2021? Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, those are very, very good comments. Very, very, very good economic comments. And let me boil down the message for people out there. The budget deficit is for the budget, the national debt, and that translates into the national debt, is the increase is falling dramatically under Biden. Now, both under Biden and Trump, when the pandemic hit, there was emergency spending needed, or our country would have fallen apart. You can't have everybody in the country not getting paid and every business closed down. So there were extraordinary expenditures in the trillions of dollars voted on by Democrats and Republicans, pushed through by Trump and by Biden, to basically keep paychecks in people's pockets, keep restaurants in business, even on a takeout basis, because there was no vaccine at the time. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Now, Bill of Shorewood's point is that the Congressional Budget Office just released the data. Instead of 2-point-some-odd trillion, it's down to 400 billion and falling. The budget deficit and the national debt increase is falling dramatically under Biden because there is less pandemic spending. Now, let me tell you something else that will surprise you. Even without the pandemic, Donald Trump, in his 4 years as president, added $7 trillion to the national debt. He took it from $21 trillion to $28 trillion, Donald Trump. And for most of his presidency, there was no pandemic. There was his tax cut. There were a number of other things. He does not know how to handle money. The Republican Party in the state doesn't know how to handle money. They can't be trusted with money. Burning money on Gableman, turning down train money, turning down Medicare money. A Republican cannot be trusted with money. Biden's bringing the deficit way down. Trump added a third of the national debt in 4 years. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A few breaking news points, important to get out. One of them is the Wisconsin Election Commission voted, since our last show, to keep Tim Michaels, on the ballot, 6-0. 6-0. This is the commissioners, six of them, where Michaels said he's going to get rid of them. The Duchess of Foxconn Clayfish says she's going to get rid of him. So do Ramthin and Nicholson. There are three Democrats and three Republicans, and they said Michaels can stay on the ballot, even though he didn't follow the rules on his nomination papers. They gave him a break. My own feeling is, if you're the governor, you should have followed the rules. Even the Duchess of Foxconn on the Republican side followed the rules. She put down her mailing and home address. Michaels didn't put them both down. He was required to put them down. He was required to put them down. He didn't put them down. They gave him a break. Then, you know, that Racine sheriff, that guy who thought that the Wisconsin Election Commission should be prosecuted, all but one, and the only one he didn't want prosecuted was Spindell. Bob Spindell, the Trump fake elector, he's endorsed Clayfish, the Duchess and the sheriff, the Duchess and the sheriff. I don't think law enforcement, and he appears in his uniform, he stands there next to the Duchess, and he said, I'm for the Duchess. Let me tell you something. Military personnel nationally under the Hatch Act can't do that. There should be a Hatch Act in Wisconsin. You shouldn't have law enforcement standing there with badges. That has a threatening effect. It's not going to do him any good. I mean, right now, the Duchess does not have the heft. She does not have the gravitas to be governor. She is a captive of the donors and of Trump, even though Trump didn't endorse her. The sad thing is she sucks up to Trump and he didn't endorse her. He didn't endorse her because she was on the Walker ticket and he didn't like Walker. Because Walker was opposed to him. He endorsed Michaels. Yet the Duchess is still claiming that she's pro-Trump. And this Racine sheriff is there in a video on TV that should not be permitted. We do not want military going after their civilian superiors. Do you understand that? Your idea is, and an officer is military. You follow orders. You don't give the orders politically statewide. This isn't Africa. This is not Asia, and it's not South America. We don't want to see this character. Hopefully, it'll hurt her. Anybody that sees that and is at all in doubt are not going to follow his advice. One piece of good news, this new guy that Don Millis, that Robin Voss appointed as his appointee to the Wisconsin Election Commission, was elected chair. Why is that important? Because it's three Democrats, three Republicans, and has to rotate the chairmanship. So the choice is between this guy and Spindell, the fake elector. Well, Millis apparently has a good reputation. Even Ann Jacobs, the former, you know, the outgoing chair, the Democrats said he was a good guy. And he voted correctly, in my view, on issues that came before the election commission was on it before. Voss basically made an appointment that was a good appointment, and he's desperately hoping that the MAGA base doesn't find out. Well, he has a primary opponent. He's called the Rhino. He's gerrymandered. I want him out. I want all the Republicans out, but I don't want his opponent Steen out, or I should say in, as the price of Voss getting out. Steen is as bad or worse. But anyway, this is all rambling. All that the message has to be is that a guy is now the chair of the commission and looks like he may be a solid citizen, and that is very good. Go back to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Today. Bill of Oconomowoc.
Good morning, Matt. I wanted to just touch base what Fox is screaming about this morning. Fox can't understand all these protests about the Supreme Court changing the law. And what they don't get is when you mess with the Constitution, when you mess with the Supreme Court, when you have paid people in the court like Kavanaugh, people get upset. Americans aren't stupid. They think America's stupid, and they should just fall in line with it. They can't comprehend all this. But thank God, a real blessing is that the January 6th stuff is going to be televised. Fox can't run far enough from that. And it's exposing America for what it's about, and Americans are rising up and say, enough. We don't need this communist-backed or Putin's pals in government. And it's all coming about. It's easy for people to see. Box is scared to death. They're terrified because it's all coming out and they can't run from it. By the way, Matt, have a great day and keep up the great work. Without you and guys like that station there, I don't know where our state would be. Thanks and keep it up. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. And thank you for your kind comments. And also, you have a great day. Let me build on a couple of things that that Bill said. And yes, on the 9/11, I should say the January 6th commission, that's being televised broadcast this morning at 9 o'clock Central Time, i.e. 9 o'clock Wisconsin time. Be sure to watch it. It's very, very important. Very, very important. Secondly, what Bill said of the Supreme Court is exactly right. You know, nobody voted for the Supreme Court. You don't get to vote for the Supreme Court. You don't get to vote for federal judges. You get to vote in Wisconsin for state judges. You don't even get to vote for state judges in some other states, but you don't get to vote for the Supreme Court. There are three branches of government: executive, which is the president, you get to vote for him or her. Congress, you get to vote for them in the Senate. You don't get to vote for the third branch, and they're supposedly co-equal. Well, how in our Constitution can you have a co-equal branch that no one votes for? And the answer is legitimacy. They have no police force. They have no army. Their only stock in trade is legitimacy, authenticity, honesty, and respect. And when I was younger, I mean, people, oh, the Supreme Court, yeah, they gave them a lot of deference. The Supreme Court is squandering its only power. Its real power is acceptance by people. And when people get the idea that they are essentially a hack organization in the service of one political party, they absolutely lose that credibility. And they're losing it right now. They're losing it right now. For them to say, for instance, that they are going to overturn Roe v. Wade, which was in the 1970s, almost 50 years ago, and one of the justices that's going to do it was pushed through in a lame duck session in a few weeks' notice, voted on by some senators who lost their elections and weren't running for re-election, and appointed by a president who lost the election. And another one of the justices doing it is a guy who told everybody in the confirmation hearings, I will not overturn it, and now he's breaking his word. That is no authenticity, but I'll say, and no credibility. But one of the things that bothers me the most, implied in what Bill of Economowoc said, is that they are considering a case now. It's a fact, it's out of North Carolina, would be that gerrymandered state legislatures like Wisconsin, the legislature would pick the presidential electors, not the voters. So Voss, who appointed Gableman, Voss and people of that ilk would say the 10 electors for president go to Donald Trump, even if Joe Biden wins. And that's not right. I don't care if you are a Republican, a Democrat, or what. That's not right. If they do that, this is a non-elected branch of the government with diminished credibility. And now they are trying to take the right to vote for president away from you. At some point, people will rise up. People will rise up. Those are the kinds of issues that King George of England did in the 18th century that caused George Washington to rise up. The Supreme Court has got to get a very clear message. We're not putting up with this baloney. Coming into the show. Great callers, as always. Be sure to watch the January 6th commission today, 9 a.m. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for now.